Good afternoon and happy Sabbath, brethren. Not breathing in CO2 anymore. I hope all of us here are feeling well. And those of you watching on Zoom and Cybercast, welcome to you also. This is a day of new beginnings, isn't it? The United Church of God, Orange County Congregation, first services in this facility. This is also an opportunity to come together again, physically, more as a congregation. I know there was like some 17 or so that was participating in the serving the congregation through Zoom and the webcast and sound and audio and everything. But we're coming together as one people again, called out of this world, a world led by the God of this world, Revelation 12:9, and soon to be passing away to a world led by the firstborn of the family of God, that being Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Under his leadership, he will be completing the restoration of all things before handing the creation back over to the Father. Since the Father will have no part with sin, there will not be any remote semblance of sin remaining on this earth. In fact, the last step Jesus will accomplish before the Father descends to this earth in the New Jerusalem will be the miraculous making of all things new. The heaven and the earth, no more oceans, no more seas, as it says in Revelation 21, 1 through 6. Write it down if you like. The only living beings on the earth in that day will be the Father, Jesus, the holy angels, and all the called out ones who overcame and inherited the kingdom of God. When individually, the called out ones, the ecclesia, they made the commitment to change and obey God's ways, not their own. And they would be rewarded by God with eternal life and a position in God's very own family, where God the Father would be their father and Jesus would be the elder brother. At that time, when the whole world, the whole family will be together, there will be only one way of life, a life of agape love, undefiled, pure as the gold streets of the New Jerusalem. This is the big picture we can look forward to. With the special day of Father's Day tomorrow already in our minds and hopefully in our hearts, which is important. For isn't that the fifth commandment? Carries the promise, the first commandment with the promise. So that's in Ephesians 6:1. I want to focus on a message a little different than Father's Day. In keeping with the introductory theme of only one way of life or living that our Heavenly Father can be pleased with, pure and undefiled, I want to focus on what a pure and undefiled religion must have. The title of this message is Encouraging a Pure and Undefiled Religion. So, we're here, and those of you watching are on the same page. Let us define the word religion. According to Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, the word religion has the following meanings. 1. A set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances, and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. 2. A specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects, like the Christian religion, the Buddhist religion. 3. the body of persons adhering to a particular set of beliefs and practices. 4, the practice of religious beliefs, ritual observance of faith. And 5, something one believes in and follows devotedly, a point or matter of ethics or conscience. We get our religion from the Creator God, different from what most of us were taught when we grew up and went to public schooling. And He has provided us the Bible, His Word, in writing for us to follow. We understand the Bible is truth and can be broken down into 3 general categories: history, prophecy, and how to live like a Christian, that is, one who follows Christ Jesus and the example He set for His followers, as He Himself was given from the Father, as spoken in John 12:49. Yes, the Father has His part in everything Jesus did and does for us today. Okay, now we're on the same page with understanding what we generally mean by the word religion. Our system of beliefs as God gives us. How does our Father define a pure and undefiled religion? Let's turn together to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, son of Joseph, and also son of Mary. The original canon or order used to follow the book of Acts, until Jerome, a Catholic, changed the order of the books of the Bible. So now we find James following the book of Hebrews and before 1 Peter. James 1, beginning in verse 26. I'm going by the New King James Version. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. This is something to always keep in mind. But I want to focus on the next verse. Read along with me to yourself, please. Verse 1, James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In this verse, there are 2 aspects to practicing a pure and undefiled religion before God. I want to focus on the first part: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, or distress, as some translations say. The complete Jewish Bible says it this way: to care for orphans and widows in their distress. The Good News Bible renders it this way: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering. This is a defining verse in God's holy inspired word. It is important. We, the called of the Lord, are to look out for, visit, and care for the widows and orphans among us, particularly if they are in trouble or distress. Other verses say to care especially for the older widows who have led a life of service to God. I am reminded of Cain and Abel. When Cain, in a rage, killed his younger brother, and when the Lord asked Cain where his brother was, Cain replied, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Most English translations say it this way. The Good News Bible says, "I do not know. Am I supposed to take care of my brother?" The Contemporary English Version says, "How should I know? Am I supposed to look after my brother?" A couple of translations say, "I don't know. Am I my brother's guardian?" That last ironic answer must have been, like all the rest, inspired by the devil himself. So we have seen so far that a pure and undefiled religion involves looking after each other, and in particular the widows and orphans in our midst. James 1:27 is one of those golden nuggets of information scattered in the Holy Scriptures, and that when found or discovered, opens the eyes wide and compels one to obey. Obey. Yes, dear brethren, friends, we are to look out for, visit, take care of those who are in distress, especially those who may be lacking essential resources. Does that mean just food, water, shelter? No. Emphatically no. Brethren and friends, How does one know about the situation of others unless they hear about them or talk with them or visit them? We are our brothers and sisters and church-related widows and orphans keepers. That is what our Heavenly Father says. When the New Covenant Church began at Pentecost, there was a place in place the apostles and disciples who knew Jesus personally. There were approximately 120 members who received the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And Jesus appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. So there were a lot of witnesses, followers of Christ, Christians who have heard the gospel of the kingdom. We are supposed to look out for our brethren, especially those going through trials causing distress or trouble for them. That would include those who are sick, injured, or had surgery, or are about to go through surgery, those who lost a job, like during this COVID-19 pandemic economic period of distress. Also those who have lost a spouse, and that could be either a husband or a wife. Distress does not only appear as an economic impact, though the emotional support one can give to another in such a situation requires great tact and sensitivity. And I am beginning to learn it is still important to try to convey brotherly love and support for the widows, widowers, orphans, in our congregation at least, and have been praying for guidance. Life is complicated, isn't it? Yet God can help us sort things out and give wisdom, the ability to accomplish His will through Jesus, who leads us from within. Those who are baptized, that is. My father died when I was 9 years old. He was 47. My mother was 35. His death created an economic turmoil in our household, two sisters and a brother with me. As a little kid, it wasn't so hard, but the stress it put on my mom, all of a sudden to go to work and support a household, I remember that. There wasn't much help those first few years, but I didn't understand that much at the time. Looking back, I can relate to the distress my mother went through not very long ago during the Zoom era. I was at a home of a widow along with five others. We watched services and had dinner following with much fellowship. It was mentioned that a widow in our congregation does not get hardly any phone calls, lives alone, and that had an impact on me, right to the heart. I've since begun to reach out to several of our widows in our congregation, those who I have a phone number for. And I only know of one orphan of a member of our congregation, personally. I still pray for him. I've been in contact with my local elder and will learn of more brethren to look out for and check on. I'm encouraging each of you to practice a pure and undefiled religion. With respect for looking out for our widows, orphans, and those in distress, whether you, me, or we can help financially or such is one thing. But equally important is letting them know they are not alone. In summation, just as we have God's Spirit and are not alone, and know He will never leave us or forsake us, let each of us, let our brethren, especially those in distress, know they are not alone. Let us conclude in Matthew 25. Starting in verse 34, and I will let God say the last word here. Matthew 25, 34, New King James Version. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Drop down to verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.